Welcome to another episode of My Art Broker Talks. I am your host, Sheena Carrington, and I am joined by two of our sales team specialists today, Jasper Tordoff and Louis Denizet, both of whom have a breadth of knowledge in modern British, contemporary, and American pop works. Not only that, but they are incredibly nice and friendly to talk to. Jasper and Louis, how are you both today?
Hi, good. Sheena. Thank you so much for having us. How exciting.
Jasper, how are you doing?
Yeah, well, thank you, Sheena. Yeah, nice to be on here again.
Good. Thank you. So, as always, thank you so much for being here. Today, us three are going to dive into the April print sales, which just took place last week at Christie's, Sotheby's, and Phillips. It's always important for us to look at not only the main event sales, but also the print sales, because it is truly a growing sector of the art market. It is the only sector that provides comparisons between works, and it allows us to forecast what will be offered and trending in the upcoming main event sales. So, analyzing the results from these sales, there were several artists which were prominent throughout. But first, starting with you, Louis, I want to quickly touch upon your recent live panel on the American pop market. You provided an incredible discussion on Jean-Michel Basquiat's posthumous, or what we like to call estate-produced prints. These works were prominent throughout the April sales, and I want to touch upon them briefly. So for our listeners who may not have a complete understanding, could you recap what estate-produced or posthumous prints are in the Basquiat print market?
Yeah, of course. My pleasure. I think it's a really important thing to bear in mind when collecting Jean-Michel Basquiat prints. As you might know, Basquiat passed away prematurely in 1988 at the age of 27 years old. And while he was very prolific throughout his lifetime, alas, very few prints were produced. And today what we're noticing is that there's such a huge demand, such a huge appetite for Basquiat prints that unfortunately the supply doesn't quite match the demand. And so after the passing of the artist, his father, Gerard Basquiat, took over his estate and basically came up with this very creative solution and started releasing authorized Basquiat prints, which is what we call posthumous prints. And so today the estate sporadically releases quote unquote authorized Basquiat prints. There are a number on the market now. You might know a few. Flexible is one of them, and it made a really big splash in the media not so long ago because of some beautiful auction results, but I can talk about that a little bit later. And yeah, the estate, they're still releasing them, so gotta keep an eye out.
That is so fascinating. This market of Basquiat's print, as you mentioned, he passed very young, so there wasn't the opportunity to create more prints. So essentially what his estate did was create a very unique investment opportunity, essentially creating kind of an entirely new market sector. But I am curious how, because a signature is so important and paramount in print works, how does the market go about valuing artworks that weren't created by the artist's hand?
Yeah, that's a fascinating question. So Jean-Michel Basquiat's estate started releasing prints back in the very early noughties. So some of these prints have already been around for almost 20 years now. So obviously we go about pricing those very differently from fresh off the boat prints that were released, you know, for example, a couple of years ago. Now, the market largely dictates the pricing of a print. Of course, it has to do with how successful it is and of course, with demand. And if you have a look at the top 10 print sales for Basquiat in 2023, what's really fascinating is that the number one print that sold for the biggest amount is a print that was released during the lifetime of the artist. However, prints that occupy the second to the 10th position are all unsigned prints, so to speak, meaning estate released prints, which really goes to show the appetite that collectors have for these prints. What's also really worth mentioning is that Flexible specifically sold for a whopping £220,000 at auction last year, which is a really incredible feat for a posthumous print. And I do expect more and more of these prints to be achieving those numbers in the future. Right now, we're already seeing a number of these prints selling for well over 100,000, but I would not be surprised if many more sold for over 150,000 or even 200,000 in the near future.
Wow. And so just to clarify for our listeners, Flexible, the print you mentioned, which sold for over 200,000, I think you said, yep. This print is not signed by Basquiat.
That's right. So it was not signed by Basquiat himself. However, it is an estate released print. So essentially what that means is that it was published in 2016 from an edition of 85, authorized by the estate of Jean-Michel Basquiat. And if it wasn't signed by Girard, it is most likely signed by, is it Lisette?
I believe it's Lisette. Yeah, I believe so. It's either Lisette or Lizane, his yes. sisters, I believe.
That's I think right. We're right there. Lizane and Janine. Yep, that's right.
Hopefully. And if anyone has questions on that, definitely get in touch with us and we'll clarify for you. Okay, so I'm doing some little art market excitement over here. This talk of posthumous Prince Jasper, it's kind of... correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm kind of drawing parallels to Banksy's unsigned prints. Do you see where I'm going there? Do you want to clarify for our listeners?
Yeah, there is a link there, because as Louis mentioned earlier, that Basquiat did also do prints signed. There weren't many. Perhaps it was one or that was signed whilst he was still alive. And similar to Banksy, there's the unsigned and signed pieces. But perhaps one difference, major difference, is the prices of the signed Banksy who seem to be holding up against the prices of the unsigned. And almost in a way, with the success of the unsigned, or the estate signed, I should say, Basquiat's really sort of taking off at the moment. There is that slight difference. And it does go to show that, you know, the signature isn't all that important. It's probably more to do with the authentication and knowing that something's produced by the artist's intention as opposed to the artist's hand.
Right. That's so fascinating. And that is why we love the print market, because there's so many different dynamics that we can analyze and dissect. Let's get into the sales. So Basquiat's posthumous or estate produced prints performed exceptionally well in 2023, as you both mentioned. We are witnessing a similar success in the first half of 2024. Several Basquiat prints were featured in the March print sales and also in this round of April print sales. Louis, can you tell us about some of the works that sold in the April sales?
Yeah, absolutely. Right off of the top of my head, two really important sales that took place at Christie's was Jean-Michel Basquiat's Cabeza and Hollywood Africans. So both prints sold squarely within the estimates that had been provided by the auction houses. Cabeza was estimated between 50 and 70,000 pounds and sold for 80,000 pounds, including buyer's premium, whereas Hollywood Africans was estimated between 70 and a whopping 100,000 pounds, and it sold for 80,000 pounds as well. So both prints performed really well. They did not exceed, the latter did not exceed the estimate. Cabeza did just by a little bit, which is really promising for the future.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, auction, it's so interesting when we look at these numbers. We have to look at public sales because it is the information that we have available. It's what we use to come to the conclusions that we do. But, you know, just given the you know, the entire system of the auction model, there are certain times, whether it has to do with market saturation or just macroeconomic factors, sometimes we will see high value prints that won't go over estimate, and then other times we'll see them skyrocket. And it's just the nature of the auction market. So yeah, it's really interesting, especially when you compare that to private sales. Let's jump into some other artists, though, that were featured in the April sales. Jasper, who was on your list?
Of course, it was David Hockney. There was a nice lineup of works. there wasn't loads, which I know we were discussing towards the end of last week, but there were some really good ones in there. One that really caught my eye was Tangerines, which had never actually come to auction, not to my knowledge at least. Perhaps it's traded privately. But it sold for below the estimate. It was an iPad piece, traditional sort of still life. I think the buyer paid, it was at Sotheby's, and the buyer paid about sort of $50,000. Just one of those works that I thought perhaps would perform slightly better. That was perhaps generally, with that Sotheby's sale and all the other iPads that came up to auction, they didn't perform perhaps as highly as they had done in 2022. Again, I think it was the untitled 516 that came up at Phillips, and I think hammered around the sort of $20,000 mark, which was much lower than where they've been trading at privately, and also much lower than where they've been trading at the year before. So I thought that was really interesting. And then again, just another great lot, which was the complete bigger book series of four iPads that I think the buyer paid just under $140,000 that came up at Christie's. Again, such an impressive lot. Was it underwhelming? A little bit. But, you know, these pieces do trade much higher privately. And so there's still huge demand for these works.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. You know, so such an innovative artist. You know, you think of David Hockney and immediately his iPad drawings come to mind. You know, of course, there's going to be different opinions in the art world, whether one person may think an iPad isn't innovative enough. But the, you know, the majority of consensus that we get is these works are highly likable. They are great investment opportunities. And yeah, I agree with you for being such popular works, and with, you know, such recognizable and likable imagery. I think that these sold for, you know, less than what they're worth. So whoever the lucky buyers were, they absolutely got a bargain on.
I think so. Yeah, definitely.
What about pool works? Were there any pool works that were offered?
Yeah. Now that's a really interesting one to speak about. So this is, we'll talk mainly about the edition of 1,000 pools, the paper pool series that Hockney did in 1980. Now, there's lots out there. Very interesting. There was a piece that was offered up at Phillips almost at the same time as there was the same piece offered up at Christie's, obviously different edition numbers. And the piece at Christie's made about $80,000 with the buyer's premium. Now, this is way above where we perhaps expected it to be. That said, the piece at Phillips made almost half this. I did further investigation, of course, before the sales as well. And really, this is down to the condition of the two works. The piece at Christie's was in much better condition. The colours were much stronger. And I would imagine was a piece that's been very well looked after, which you was contrary to the work that was offered by Phillips. So it's a really nice example to highlight of how condition can really impact the value of something. There was a $40,000 spread across the two pieces. But it's a really promising result that the high quality works are getting recognized and bidded up at auction, such as the example of the Christie sale.
Yeah, David Hockney's pool works, they do always, no matter what the condition of the market is, those works do always continue to impress at auction and sell really well. They are rare. So, you know, again, another avenue to explore is private sales instead of, you know, doing your luck of the auction draw. Our specialists, like for all of our listeners, our specialists like Jasper and Louis have the network to connect you with buyers if you're looking to acquire some of these works. Jasper, I did notice that there were no arrival of spring or Yosemite works in the sale. What do you think? Are these reserved for the main May New York sales? What do you think?
I think it's a case with these sort of seminal higher value pieces by Hockney that are exceptionally rare, addition of 25 from small portfolios. There's an element of finding the right sale to put those in to give them the best chance. There's also an element of, is the market somewhat deflated from 2022? I would say yes. If you were looking to sell these, I would definitely exhaust a private sale route as opposed to going down the auction route. There is a huge risk of having that work not sell. And so definitely I would say that. But it was interesting to see. I think there's been some much lower results for those arrival of springs as opposed to the sales in 2022. So perhaps that's put off vendors from putting those into auctions, or they're just waiting for the May sales.
Yeah, that is, we stress this all the time. We talk about private sales because, of course, we are in private sales. But it is a really interesting, we could call it trend that we have seen in 2023 and 2024, the impact that private sales have made on the market. It's purely because of... One, because private sales dealers like my art broker are amazing, but two, just the broader economic conditions, the risk of putting your work in a public auction, having it go unsold, et cetera. Private sales is a different avenue to explore. So let's see. We cannot do a podcast about Damien Hirst, so let's touch upon him briefly. I want to ask both of you, but Jasper, you first. The virtues. These works continuously perform well in auction, no matter how many times they enter the public market. Can you tell us about the virtues?
To be honest, Sheena, I don't know what's going on. Having watched the previous sales of those three virtues that were offered, with works like these, that there's many out there, they trade really closely. So in terms of price point, you can be pretty accurate in terms of what they're going to hammer for. Often these works are in excellent condition. They have the Henny box, but we saw massive results. It was bizarre. Perhaps somebody really wanted that number. It's hard to explain. If you look at it on a wider level, I would say it's a bit of an anomaly. It's good to see in the market, but they've been trading sideways for some time now, but it was quite an incredible result. I think it was, three times above the estimate and our expectations as to what that piece hammered for, which is really interesting to see. I couldn't believe it, really.
That's so interesting. Maybe someone wanted that exact number, because it is true. We know in the editions market that, the edition number does matter to an extent, but especially with Hirst's portfolio, his editions go up to the thousands. So maybe someone really wanted that, whatever edition number that was.
Yeah, if it was one, maybe it makes sense, but I don't think it was. So but it's good to see in the market. Those are great pieces. They've performed very well. They've come down a bit since the market's sort of overheated a bit. And great pieces to be buying at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. It's always nice to see activity. Louis, what do you think about Damien Hirst's The Virtues?
That is a great question. As you know, I'm a pop art specialist, so this is a little bit outside of my personal domain of aesthetic taste. Having said that, I think they're fascinating pieces. I absolutely love watching how they perform on the market. I mean, as soon as they hit the market, they soared to these absolutely unbelievable levels. Unfortunately, none of the other Henny collaborations really saw the same success. People really gravitated towards those cherry blossoms. There was a gorgeous exhibition at the Cartier Foundation in Paris, which I was lucky enough to go see. And I have to say, when you see them in person, they really do have a hypnotic effect on people. I mean, it's just, look, it lights up a living room, okay? It is like inviting spring into your home. It's absolutely wonderful. It does it in a unique and powerful manner. So am I surprised that they were that successful? Absolutely not. I'd just be curious to see how they perform on the secondary market in the next 5 to 10 years.
Right. Mm. Well, Yep, that's a long time. Hopefully we'll all still be watching by then. And yeah, especially with us living in London, I guess we could all use a little bit of spring into our living rooms.
Amen right? to that.
Okay, so I want to talk very briefly about the upcoming May auctions. As we know, these are a very important round of sales. They are the first New York round of spring sales. And aside from the fall auctions, these are it. These are the auctions that the big consigners save their works for. So Louise, starting with you, I know not all of the catalogs are available yet, but is there any work that you've seen in the previews or any work that you hope to see once the catalogs do become available?
Yeah, well, once again, since my main domain of interest is pop art, I've got a particular affinity for Andy Warhol and Jean-Michel Basquiat. And I guess the piece that I'm the most excited about that I will be watching very closely is a gorgeous, large-scale, original painting, a collaborative piece by both artists that will be offered for sale at Sotheby's in May for a whopping $15 to $20 million. Is that right, Sheena? Did I just quote the right figure?
I think you're right in there. I think it might be, from the top of my head, I think it might be a little higher. I think it might be 20 to 30 million, but regardless, it is still a massive sum.
Well, there you go. And I know that this piece was offered for sale back in 2010 and it sold for $2.8 million. So isn't that just a gorgeous appreciation in value? The best investment you can make. So look, if you've got $20 million and that you don't know what to invest in, if you were hesitating between stocks, which you will never be able to enjoy visually, might as well consider putting them in there instead.
I love it. And Louis, that's an interesting, I'm really glad you just brought that up. So 20 to 30 million Andy Warhol Basquiat. If one of our listeners wanted to acquire a Basquiat posthumous print, how much would it cost?
Well, there's a wide range of price points available, which is, you know, the beauty of these prints. There's something for everyone. If you're looking to acquire, for example, a wolf sausage, I would recommend a budget of about, I don't know, I would say maybe 35 to 40,000 pounds, perhaps. And then, you know, those prices go up to 130 to 150,000 for example, a Rinso or a per capita. So there's really something for everyone in there. Once again, these pieces have been released sporadically throughout the early noughties. And so the price points do vary quite a bit. But if there's a specific piece that anybody's interested in, I would highly recommend them getting in touch with me and we can talk specifics.
Amazing. And it's a lot cheaper than 20 to 30 million US dollars, but still an investment worthy piece. So we like that. Jasper, what about you? What are you hoping to see in the May New York sales?
Well, there's some, as you mentioned, Sheen, not all the catalogs have been released. I'm hoping to see some sort of seminal works by the main artist that I'm involved with, which is the Modern British. So, you know, love to see some more Hockney works, perhaps even some original works, some sketches. I think that'd be great. It'd be interesting to see where the market is for those, particularly if they're in the right sale and they're of the right quality. That'd be interesting to watch. Again, works by Bridget Riley. It'd be awesome to see how they're doing. They seem to be going above every high estimate that any auction house can set, which is also really interesting. So yeah, I think really a Hockney original would be great. And then just some big seminal works, you know, Rival of Springs, editions of 10. These are super rare. Great to see where they sit on the market because they really do set a tone. So things like that. But yeah, like I said at the start, that I haven't actually seen the catalogs, but yeah, just the seminal works by the major British artists.
Right. I love it. And we are going to continue watching for when these catalogs do become available. The artists you guys mentioned, you know, Basquiat, Hockney, Riley. These are such important artists, and it almost seems like no big sale is, of course we love all artists, but it seems like no big sale is complete without one of these stellar works. So we really get excited to see them. If I could see a piece come to auction from our blue chip artists, I would hope to see a never before seen Banksy work, maybe an original from the Crude Oils exhibition, or you know, when the artist was doing his, you know, a lot of his street works, some of these works would get, you know, confiscated, and then the artist would donate them directly back to charity, and then they would go onto a charity auction, and a lot of these works have never been seen in the market before. So you know, to our listeners who may not know, we just poured our heart into a Banksy market report, and it is available now. You can access it for free on our via our market reports on our website. So, you know, still coming off of the momentum from that big report that we put so much energy into, I think I would really like to see a Banksy original.
Tough to get a vendor to sell, though.
We'll see. May, an exciting time for the art market. So Jasper and Louis, thank you so much for your time and for being here. If one of our listeners wanted to get in touch with either of you about buying or selling a Basquiat, a Hockney, where can they find you? Louis, where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, I welcome any and all questions. If anybody would like a valuation on a work in their collection, I would be more than happy to provide them with that. Or if they just want to have a discussion about the art market, I would be delighted to do that as well. You can find us online on our website, myartbroker.com, and you can always send me an email at louis.denizet if you are British, at myartbroker.com. You can also find us on Instagram and send us a little message and we'll be happy to get in touch. Just leave us your contact information.
Amazing. And Jasper, what about you? Where can our listeners find you?
Yep, so online at myartbroker.com and then directly via email. And more than happy to answer any questions and have any phone call with any interested party. So my email is jasper@myartbroker.com.
Amazing. Well, I'm aware we kind of went over time today, but there's just so much exciting things to talk about. So again, thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us, and Jasper and Louis. Until next time.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sheena.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.